And welcome to a special episode of the Click Nation Comic Book Chronicles. I'm your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And tonight I want to say that I'm joined by a very special guest. He is currently working with Image Comics. He just finished up a four-issue limited series for his comic called Repossessed. And I'm joined by J.M. How do you say it?
Renge.
I had practiced it before the show, and of course I messed it up.
It's all right.
My apologies. But so first I want to thank you for joining me tonight.
No problem.
And I guess just quickly give the listeners a quick introduction to yourself.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I'm a comic creator, and what I'm trying to do is to write and draw my own comics, to do everything at the same time. And Repossessed is my first real book out. I did some books before, but I was either the artist or the colorist. It's the first time I do everything.
And that's something you don't really see. At least I don't see it too much as someone doing the art and the writing. Is that something that was your goal setting out to when, you know, doing your own comic was to do both sides of it?
Yeah, because what I'm really interested in is telling stories. So from the beginning, basically, I was attracted by comics because you can tell a story visually. Mm-hmm. And so I always wanted to write and draw. I think I started doing the art because maybe that was the easiest part, or it's the easiest way maybe to get into comics, because for writers it's not very easy.
Right.
So I started doing the art, but I was always thinking about writing my own stuff. So and I've written things for a long time, so I was just waiting for the right opportunity to be able to do both at the same time.
So has working in comics always been, I guess, your main, I guess, source of income?
No, before, actually, I worked for quite some time in the video game industry.
Okay.
Doing art, also concept art, and also 3D art and some animation. Mm-hmm. But I always wanted to try comics at some point. So when I had the opportunity to do it, I just wanted to try.
So how did you go? How did you make the leap to from the video game industry into comics?
I don't know. I think at some point I was a little bit tired of the video game industry, because it's an industry that's very it's pretty hard for artists, I would say, to express themselves in this industry.
Right.
When you work on a project, it's usually controlled by just a few people at the top who decide how things are going to look, what's going to be the story, how it's going to play, and everything. So it's extremely difficult to have any kind of personal influence on a game. So I think after a while I was just really frustrated by that. I thought I had some ideas or some things to say or just do the art in a different way. And I just wanted to try it. And in the comic industry, the good thing is that you can do everything all by yourself. Working on a game is...
Because you're working with a team mostly with video games, yeah. Right?
Yeah, and it's dozens of people or now hundreds of people on one game, and you end up doing something that is not even that is just part of something else. You know, it's not, you cannot point at something in the game and say, you know, I've done that, because you've done only a little part of that. Maybe if there's a character on screen, you designed, you know, the outfit of the character, or you did something in the background, or you have like one animation or one thing. So it's kind of frustrating, because you don't really own what you're doing as a creator, and it turns into something extremely technical, which is not creation anymore. It's just,
it's like a job.
Yeah. It's very frustrating, I think, for artists. That's why I know of a lot of artists, actually, who started in the industry and then jumped to illustration or pure concept art for movies or other things and comics, because, you know, maybe what they do is not as big as a big video game, but at least they have control and they have a way to express themselves.
Yeah, and I guess I could see it being more pleasurable for you if you're working on something that you actually have, like, you're invested in.
Yeah.
Instead of just, you know, here's this game we're handing you, come up with, you know, a character design for it, and then having people come back and say maybe, oh, I don't like this, and change this. Always having someone over you, and instead of, like, with your own personal comic, you're the final say over what you like and don't like with it.
Yeah, exactly. And when I started in the video game industry, there was still a time, you know, like really late 90s, there was still a time where the teams were smaller, so people had more of a say, and there was a lot more creative input from anybody and everybody. And then... And more original products too. And then it turned into something more of licensing, you know, doing sequels to a previous game, or doing a game based on a TV show or movie or something like that. And then there's bigger teams and less creativity, you know, just executing something that maybe you don't even really like.
Yeah.
So that was pretty frustrating.
So how long ago was that, if you don't mind me asking? About the video game days?
2005, so about 7 or 8 years ago.
Okay. So how did you, I guess, first get in contact with Image?
I just submitted to them.
Oh, okay.
I submitted a lot. It's not the first project I submitted to them. Mm-hmm. I just sent, you know, every time I had something that I thought was a good idea, I just did a pitch, you know, wrote down the story, did a few pages, and then I just submitted that to them by email, and until, you know, they replied and they were interested.
Okay, so I guess that's encouraging for anyone that's listening that maybe wants to do their own comic. Just keep submitting to the company you're choosing, and hopefully you'll catch their eye and they'll get back in contact with you, and hopefully you'll have your own comic being published.
Yeah, I really don't have a lot of connections or contact in the comic industry, so I'm not getting jobs, you know, by through friends or anything like that. It's just basically sending things around and trying to catch people's attention.
Right. That's something we have in common because I'm doing the same thing. I still have no contacts, I guess, besides you in the comic industry. Just, you know, joined Twitter, and I guess I can tell the people how I got in contact with you.
Yeah.
One of my Twitter followers, Danny, aka Impressive Geek, I think she tweeted me your at name, and I clicked on your bio and saw that you were writing a book for Image. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. I always try to, anytime I see I find an artist on any type of creative person on Twitter, I try to follow them just to sort of keep up with them. And I remember I kind of just threw it out there saying, you know, hey, I'd love to interview you one time, and you told me to, you know, go to your website and do the contact form, which I did. Thankfully you got back in contact with me.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I think it's just about if you have the right idea, if you have a catchy idea, it's somebody is going to be interested, you know. So it's really a matter of really trying to send it to all the people that could have some interest in it. But somebody is going to be interested in it sooner or later.
And it helps to have an original idea.
Yeah, exactly. If it's, you know, if it's original, if it's catchy, if people can just understand in basically one sentence, you know, that just gives them a feeling of you know, I want to see what it's about. You know, that's a good idea. If it takes a long time to describe, you know, what you want to do, and it's not really clear, and it's a little bit too much like this and a little bit too much like that, it's probably going to be much harder to sell. But if it's something kind of simple and, you know, very catchy, I think somebody is going to be interested for sure.
Definitely. And I guess this will be a good transition to talking about your comic, Repossessed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how did you come up with the idea for Repossessed?
The idea actually started quite some time ago. I read a book about, I think it was about occultism in Europe in the 19th century. Because it was kind of trendy at the time for rich people to be interested in occultism, you know, and do a lot of kind of weird things. And there was those books that were supposedly written in the Middle Ages about demons and angels. And there was one especially that was describing demons, so demons supposedly from hell, and with some old illustrations and that kind of thing. And it was pretty striking because the description of the demons and their powers and everything was really totally different from anything I've seen. Pretty funny, usually pretty over the top. And I thought encyclopedia of monsters, you know, basically this book. So I thought somebody should do something with that. You know, it's like you have this big catalog of all those monsters, and that would be perfect to make a story. But at the time, I didn't really know what to do with it. You know, so I just kept the idea in the back of my mind, doing something with that someday. And then I don't know, at some point, I just had this idea about, you know, repo men, basically, but that could be repossessing bodies instead of repossessing cars or houses or whatever. And just basically being almost like exorcist, you know, but in a very modern, kind of trendy and kind of cool way. And at the same time, people were just, you know, hardworking, not very smart people, not very just, you know, basically blue collar people, just go to work, and that's their job to to kick out demons, and that's what they do. So, you know, I just thought about those two things together, and the title, you know, Repossessed, came pretty easily because it was, you know, kind of repo guys and demons, and I just started writing that, and it just kind of wrote by itself. So I thought it was a good idea.
Yeah, I like the being repo men side of it, because that was a nice twist, because you know people could always come up with, you know, a team of people fighting demons. Yeah. But what makes it different? Oh, it's different that they're actually being hired and they're going out and repossessing the bodies and then getting paid for it.
Yeah. I've always been interested, you know, by people like repo men or bounty hunters, you know, that kind of people who have these really weird jobs and these kind of big responsibilities, but at the same time, it's really a down and dirty job, you know, it doesn't pay that well, and it's very dangerous. So I thought, you know, putting that with demons, that was a pretty good idea.
And I know you mentioned reading the books and how they go into detail about the different demons.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. Another thing I took from the four issues is you go in a lot of detail describing each, like at the end of each issue, you sort of give a synopsis of the demon, the main demon from the story. And you give a lot of detail explaining, you know, where they come from and what their motives are.
Yeah, I try to base everything. I mean, all the kind of demonic or occult parts, you know, with the incantations they use and all that kind of thing. I try to base it on something kind of authentic, you know. So I did some research a lot. All the demons, I didn't create the demons. I just, you know, kind of interpreted the look of them, but they're all based on, you know, some tradition, some mythology, some things like that. So if you search online, for example, for some of the demon names, you can find some of the information I used.
So let's get into the characters in Repossessed. Are they any of them inspired from other parts of media?
No, not really. I'm not sure actually where they came from. I don't really remember. I just thought I wanted three characters, because I think three characters is pretty good. It's a pretty good number. You can do a lot of different things between two characters instead of two, for example. I kind of wanted to starting with two to have kind of a buddy comedy type of vibe, but. I thought three characters would be more interesting.
Okay.
And then I'm not even sure. I think I probably wanted to have, you know, three really different type of characters. So there's one guy who is more kind of, you know, by the book, more kind of the process guy, you know, and the paperwork guy. Mm-hmm. I wanted a guy who was more going to be just pure action. You know, he's the guy who's taking out the trash. and I wanted to have the third character, which is the girl, who would be a little bit more, you know, understanding a little bit better what was really happening and a little bit smarter about it. But at the same time, also a more emotionally involved in the process. So I wanted those three type of personalities, and I think, I don't know, I just kind of designed the character, you know, visually, kind of draw them from that while I was thinking about that, and they just appear like that.
And they're definitely very three distinct characters, because not one is similar to the other. Like you said, one's sort of the straight-laced, one's the all about action and fighting and getting the job done, and then of course Martha, the female, she's kind of, I guess how best way to describe it, sort of both of them to get sort of their personalities together is kind of makes hers, but of course she has the sort of secret that we find out in the fourth issue.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So let's see. So it's of course the series is over. The last issue came out last. Did it come out this month or last month?
This month.
It came out this month.
Yeah.
Were there any plans maybe to come up with a follow-up series for it?
I have planned a sequel, at least a mini series, four more issues.
Okay.
So it's all laid out. I didn't really write it down or anything, but I wrote the outline for four issues, four more issues. But at this point, it really depends on sales on the first series. If the first series is successful, you know, I can do a sequel. If not, that's not going to work with the publisher or with myself, because I cannot spend a lot of time on something that that is not successful. Yeah.
So, I guess would you have to resubmit to Image for another series, or do you have to like wait for the numbers to come in and then Image to get in contact with you?
Yeah, it's the numbers at this point. I think if the numbers are right, I have no problem doing a sequel.
Okay. So, going back to you doing the writing and the art. So you also with the art, that does that also involve doing the inking and the colors?
Yeah.
Also?
Yeah, and the letter. So.
Okay.
I really like doing coloring anyway. I did a lot of coloring also as colorist on other comics. Mm, okay. So I like the coloring because it adds a lot to the mood. And the way I draw, the way I pencil is pretty quick. So usually I have to do my own inking because I do a lot of the drawing at the inking level actually.
Okay.
So so I need to do the inking, and the coloring is always something I like to do. So it's not a big effort. It just takes more time, of course.
Yeah, that was going to be, I guess, my follow up question: the amount of time it must take to just get one issue done. I can't even imagine how long that takes. I guess, can you give like a ballpark of just like getting one issue written, drawn, ink, colored, and then where you pass it on to have it you go to print?
Yeah, the writing, actually, I'm not sure how long it takes, because when I start writing, I kind of think about the story, you know, all the time for quite some time. And I kind of work out a lot of things in my head at that point. So I'm not sure exactly how long I spend on the writing. On the art, what I'm trying to do basically is about one page a day. That's my goal. But the coloring part sometimes, so just the finishing part takes more time. So maybe it's 2 or 3 days to do one page. And the problem is because I cannot do that full time. You know, I have to do other books full time to pay for that one. So I can only produce a certain amount of pages every week.
Right.
So it's maybe, you know, 2 pages a week, something like that. So I did, I don't remember how many pages there are, about 100 pages total, I think.
Okay.
So, you know, it's about 50 weeks, so it's probably one year and a half total.
Okay. I guess, what do you hope readers take away from the series?
My first idea was really to have fun book, you know. I want mostly people to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
I want that's why the book has a lot of action and it's very it's moving very fast. I hope people find it funny too, because I try to put some humor in it. So I just want people to have a really good time, enjoy it, kind of be excited by it. And also there's a little bit of social commentary that I added here and there about the demons, you know, who's possessed by demons, and the characters, what's the responsibility toward that, and things like that. So, you know, a little bit of that, but it's mostly supposed to be a fun book.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely, I can say after reading all four of the issues, it definitely is makes for a fun read. It's nothing that you have to labor through. You read it, you're done, and then, of course, you're waiting for the next issue to come out the following month.
Yeah, I could have done something, you know, a lot more complicated and maybe more serious, but that was not the goal. I just wanted something that moves fast, you know. That's why also I didn't put too much backstory about the characters or the exactly where the demons are coming from or things like that. I mean, I've worked out all of that for myself, you know, to do the story, but it's not really the... It's not really what I was trying to do. I just wanted something that's just really fun, you know. Like maybe like more older comics. You know, I remember reading older comics when I was a kid that were just, you know, it's just good fun and that's it.
I guess speaking of older comics, what comics did you read that what sort of helped inspire you to get into the business?
I read a lot of different things, actually, because I read American comics, I read European comics, I read Japanese comics, so it's a little bit of a mix, you know, like the first American comics I was reading were probably, you know, Spider-Man, and I probably read some X-Men, too, and I remember also reading Kamendi from, you know, Jack Kirby.
Okay, yes.
I really liked reading that when I was a kid. You know, plus, yeah, a lot of mixed things, basically.
Okay. Yeah, Spider-Man and X-Men were definitely the two that got me into reading comic books as a kid.
Yeah.
So, if you, I guess, taking all the characters in Repossessed, are there any that you sort of... relate to more from either the good guys or the bad guys?
I would say only the good guys, basically. The three main characters, because I think three main characters is, you know, there's a little bit of me in each of them, you know, in the way they... And they are pretty extreme, I think, in the way they act. So there's a little bit of me in the three main characters. Mm-hmm. So that's the characters I would relate to. The bad guys, I mean, they're really bad guys. They're really pure evil. Yeah. You know,
I guess you can't get more evil than, you know, demons.
Yeah, exactly. There's absolutely nothing good about them in any way. And, you know, what I try to do, too, is that all those demons are basically possessing people that are very bad too. You know, the people who are possessed are not, it's not an accident, you know. They are already pretty bad, but they are possessed by those demons that are even worse than them, you know. So it's like basically the worst aspect of those people that's coming out of, as a demon. So, yeah, and so I don't really relate to those characters.
I like how, you know, through each issue, the demons kept getting bigger and bigger and sort of higher up on the food chain.
Yeah, that was the idea. Because what's also pretty funny about that those occultism books is that they always have this kind of hierarchy of demons. You know, with all they have, it's almost like nobles from ancient time. You know, they all have titles and servants and assistants. You know, and there are presidents and dukes and emperors and things like that. So I thought it was a pretty fun idea to have this also kind of very complicated hierarchy of people in hell, basically. And what I found very funny is that all those demons are extremely chaotic. They have no extremely selfish and extremely chaotic. So I thought it was very funny to put them in a kind of hierarchy where they all have to kind of obey to somebody else. At the same time, they're all jealous and fighting with each other all the time. So, yeah, that's what I tried to do in that story.
Okay. I know you mentioned, you know, the other stuff you're working on. Are they, these future projects, are they also comic book related?
Yeah. I have a lot of ideas. At this point, I'm trying to narrow down a few of those ideas to see what would be the most most interesting to do, you know, in the format. What's the most attractive thing? What's the most interesting thing for me to write and draw? And what also what publishers are interested in, because that's, you know, it's not easy to submit a comic. You basically have to find out what kind of stuff publishers are reacting to. Mm-hmm. So right now, you know, I have way too many ideas, basically. So I'm just trying to find the right one or a few ones, and then I'm going to pitch that pretty soon.
Are these ideas also occultism related, or they just sort of span all genres?
Yeah, it's not really occultism or horror. It's more like sci-fi ideas,
okay,
science fiction, and some thrillers. There's a few things with you know, supernatural stuff and things like that, but yeah, I mean, kind of modern action thriller stuff, a little bit like Repossessed, because there's a lot of that in Repossessed too.
Okay. I guess my final question for you would be, I guess, what advice would you give to any up-and-coming creators like yourself who might want to do their own comic and try to get it published? Any words of wisdom?
Yeah, I don't know if it's wisdom, but my advice always is, you know, do your own thing. Basically develop your style, create your own style, work on your style. Don't work that much on, you know, the technical side of things, either if you're a writer or an artist. Especially when you're starting, I don't think it matters that you are technically very good at what you're doing. I think what's very important is your style, because basically a publisher is going to want to work with you because of you, you know, because you have a unique style, because you're bringing something that's different. People are going to want to buy your books or remember you because of your style, you know, because the way you're doing things. Mm-hmm. So, in my opinion, that's what you should be developing first, you know. Then you can get better at it. You can, you know, especially technically. Whether it's writing, you know, and writing perfect dialogue or very complicated stories and things like that, that I think can come later. You know, what you have to find is that you have to find your voice. You have to have something that other people don't have. Because if you if you're technically very good but you sound like everybody else, the only jobs you're going to get is you know, some little jobs here and there. You're not going to be able to really express anything and to have a big book out, for example, because, you know, there's nothing special about it. So you have to be special, and I think you really have to work on that. You know, it's something I didn't really do when I was younger, when I started, because I thought you just have to try to get better and better. And I think, you know, first develop your style, then get better at it, you know. But if you look at all the, in comics, you look at all the writers or the artists that are very successful now or that you want to read, mm-hmm. you notice that they have something specific to them, you know. Somebody like Grant Morrison, for example, writes like Grant Morrison. And a lot of people are copying him, you know. He's, you can say he has influence from other people, but he's unique. You know, if you buy one of his books, you know how it's going to read.
Yeah.
If you take an artist like Mike Mignola, for example, you know exactly, you know, the art. You know what's attracting you about that. And nothing looks like it, you know. So I think that's always my advice. Find your voice, find your style, you know, just work on that at first. And then when you have a good grasp on that, you can try to become better technically and better at it and refine it. But first, you know, start with that.
Okay. I know I said that was going to be my last question, but now listening to you, I've thought of another question I meant to ask earlier. I guess, were you self-taught or did you go get schooling as far as like doing your own art?
Yeah, I'm self-taught. I went to, briefly to art school, but didn't really learn anything. So just, self-taught.
Trial
just
error.
Yeah, exactly. And just, I mean, you know, I'm still doing that because I'm far from being good.
Well, that's something to take pride in. You know, you want to keep honing your craft. So you can only just hope to keep getting better by, you know, doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I think every page you write or every page you draw, you know, should be better than the previous one. And at the same time, it's not going to be as good as the next one. So, you know, you have to keep working at it and, you know, just try to be the best at the moment, you know. But you're always going to get better.
And now this will be my final question. What books currently that are coming out are you enjoying if you read current books at all?
I haven't read a lot actually lately because I was finishing all that and because, you know, I'm full-time friend, so I'm working a lot. Mm. So I don't have a lot of time to read. I'm just interested in a few things. I want to read the Massive, for example.
Okay.
I just started reading issue one of that, and I'm kind of interested.
Who's doing that book? I can't think of that right now.
I don't remember.
I have to look it up later. I know the book you're talking about. I just can't think of who's working on it off the top of my head right now.
Brian Wood is writing it.
Who?
Brian Wood.
Oh, Brian Wood. Okay. Brian Wood book.
And what else did I read? It's very difficult. I'm also rereading 20th Century Boys, which is a comic, a Japanese comic. Don't know if you heard about that, which is a very, very good comic. I'm reading Hellboy in Hell, too.
Okay, I've heard that story.
Yeah. So, you know, things like that. I have a pile with some new comics in it, but I have not.
You'll get to them when you get to them.
Yeah, I haven't started reading them. Especially some series, I prefer to wait until there's, you know, two or three issues out or something before I start reading, because sometimes one issue is a bit frustrating. So, I have a lot of things to read, but I hope I can get to it soon.
Okay. Well, I definitely want to thank you for joining me tonight. It was a pleasure getting to sort of pick your mind and see what you know, what goes on in the creative process working on a book.
Yeah, it was my pleasure.
So go ahead, let people know where they can find you online as far as like whatever websites or social media accounts you want to plug.
I have one main website with you know, art samples, and then there's link to two other things, so they can go there. It's jmringuet.com, jmringuet.com. And they can also go to Repossessed Comic, in one word, mm-hmm. repossessedcomic.com, where there's information about a comic, you know, there's some art and, you know, where to buy it and little things like that.
And all the art on your website is done by you, right?
Yeah, everything.
I was looking at it earlier. There's a lot of different stuff on there. So, anyone interested, make sure to check that out.
Yeah, that's, you know, being freelance, you have to do a lot of different things. I'm mostly doing freelance art. I'm not doing freelance writing. Mm-hmm. So I just do, you know, all type of arts.
Like you said, it's easier, but you can sort of get known more for your art than your writing,
Exactly. It's very difficult to stand out with just the writing, so it's better to start with the art, actually.
Exactly. Okay. So, and also, you can follow J.M. Rengay on Twitter, and your Twitter handle is just J.M. Rengay, right?
Rengay, yeah, same thing. J-M-R-I-N-G-U-E-T.
Yep. Okay. So that about wraps up our interview tonight. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. My Twitter account also is at TimDOGG98, and the Click Nation's Twitter is just at TheClickNation. Make sure to go to the website, TheClickNation.com, where you'll be able to find this interview in audio format. And, of course, it'll also be available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio for playback purposes. So, once again, I want to thank J.M. Rengay for joining me.
No problem.
And thank you for tuning into this episode of the Comic Book Chronicles. And we are signing off.
Okay, thanks. Yes, Dark One! What? Comic Book Chronicles has dopest trace chronic, yo. I'm steady tripping over them pages and dogging Adam Black. No. Yeah. Graphic or not, this is motherfucking comic book art. The man, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, Jim Lee. As long as them pages are hot, and it's written by Chris Claremont, Jeff Johns, Alan Moore, or Grant Morrison.